You're listening to
The Marne Report.
Hi, Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield. Kelsey here, back with another edition of the Marne Report podcast. Today, I'm joined by our special guest, Nick Seener, who is the Wildland Fire Program Manager with the Forestry Branch here at Fort Stewart. Today, we're going to talk about prescribed burns and hopefully learn a thing or two. Thank you so much for joing me, Nick. How are you doing?
No problem. I'm doing great.
All right. So could you maybe share a little bit more about yourself and kind of what you do in your role?
Sure. So I am, like you said, the Wildland Fire Program Manager for the Forestry Branch. So that kind of oversees all of the prescribed burning as well as all the wildfire response. And we've got a pretty robust program on Fort Stewart, just being how large it is. We manage roughly 284,000 acres. There's kind of a lot going on certain times of year when it comes to fire.
Yeah, of course. So it's actually my second military installation, and I was just wondering, are prescribed burns a common thing like throughout military installations or just mainly here at Fort Stewart?
It depends on where they are common. Specifically in the southeast region of the U.S., they're a lot more common than other places. Fire's kind of a part of any ecosystem in the continental United States. It's a lot easier and more commonplace, you could say, to implement it in kind of the southeast, more so than, say, states out west or in the north, for a whole bunch of different reasons. But yeah, it's a common thing.
Obviously, prescribed burns, they happen because, like, we make them happen. What are the benefits to this program?
So there's several of them. Unique to Fort Stewart, the main benefit is it supports a military training mission. It maintains an open landscape throughout the training areas. And then what kind of goes hand in hand with that, it also reduces hazardous fuel loads out in the forest to reduce the threat of wildfires, which keeps the training mission going. We haven't had a day lost to training for wildfires in over two decades now.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of goes back to our robust burn program. And also in the southeast United States, like I said, it's a fire-dependent ecosystem out here. Fires have been burning as long as these forests have been here. They were, you know, either lightning strike or started by indigenous people or whatever. But it's part of the ecosystem here. There's a lot of species that depend on it. And so by implementing prescribed fire, we benefit those. We have a great threatened endangered species program out here on Fort Stewart. And so there's several different reasons for it.
What are the specific species that are benefited by it?
So out here, our biggest one, which is actually just recently got downlisted from being endangered.
Oh, wow.
Part and thanks to us. It's the red-cockaded woodpecker. That's the big one you'll hear about a lot out here. But we also have the frosted flatwood salamander. We have eastern indigo snake, gopher tortoises. All those species require kind of an open understory of the forest from a fire regime periodically introduced into there. And so it really benefits them. That's kind of what they depend on.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, thank you for that. And obviously some people would assume that us burning this land and the trees and the forest, they would think that's harmful to the environment. What would you say if someone were to tell you that or say that?
I would say the short-term impacts are way outweighed by the long-term benefits of it. Yes, you know, you'll see a prescribed fire, you'll see smoke coming up, and there's obviously particulate matter going into the atmosphere. However, the way you burn with a prescribed fire, it doesn't generate a lot of smoke. It's a very low-intensity fire, so there's not as much particulate matter being put into the atmosphere as, say, a wildfire with the wind behind it really pushing through. They're consuming a lot more fuel, therefore putting more particulate matter into the atmosphere. So, yes, there's a very short-term it looks a lot worse than it is when you see a prescribed burn going on. And then after that, especially here in the southeast, because we've got such a long growing season, almost immediately that forest starts growing back. And it's essentially capturing way more carbon as it's growing back than was put into the atmosphere in that 2 or 3 hours that it was on fire.
Yeah,
so over the next 6, 8, 12 months, it's really regenerating and benefiting the environment a lot.
And for you guys, when you go along and do this process, because it's from, what was it,
December 1st till June 30th is when we burn out here on Fort Stewart.
And for you guys, how do you, like, choose which areas to burn? Is there, like, a lineup? How does that process happen, I guess?
So there's a lot of factors in the process. First, when you're prescribed burning, obviously you have a prescription written up for that area that you're going to burn. And there's certain weather requirements and certain parameters that have to be met before you put any kind of fire on the ground. So that area first has to meet all those requirements, and that's wind direction, that's atmospheric dispersion, that's temperature, that's humidity. There's a lot of different factors.
A lot of science.
Yes. And on top of that, out here, we have training area access. So training is obviously the first priority out here. So in the morning, or not even in the morning, you know, several days before, we'll look at the training schedule, say, oh, we can get into this area. We can't get over here. Well, we're going to have a west wind that's going to be putting smoke towards Savannah. So we have to keep that in mind. So that's the two biggest things is weather parameters and training area access determines day by day where we burn and what we burn.
How many acres do you burn at a time, or like how much total is your, do you have a goal for this season?
We do have an annual goal. We try to burn 115,000 acres a year,
wow,
which puts us as one of the largest fire programs in the U.S.
Yeah.
And then on a day-to-day basis, it just, it's also kind of weather dependent. We'll have burns as small as 40 to 50 acres somewhere near, maybe near the cantonment or something like that. Or we'll burn up to 12,000 acres in a day when we burn the artillery impact area. So it really varies.
So we've discussed how you choose the area and what parameters you have to go about to even decide to burn that day. What is the actual process of getting out there after you've decided, how do you burn it?
So once we've determined where we're going to burn, we send our crews out there. We have, at Fort Stewart Forestry, we've got over 40 fire personnel who mm-hmm. work with us, and they're all trained up to levels unique to what job they're going to be doing. And we also work hand in hand with the Fish and Wildlife Branch. And so we'll notify them ahead of time so they can go out and prep the red cockaded woodpecker trees so the nesting cavities don't burn up.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we do that, we'll get our crews out there and they'll start kind of assessing the area, assessing the weather, when to start lighting. And they'll light what's called a test fire, where they'll just put a little fire on the ground and kind of watch the fire behavior, watch the wind direction and stuff. And once they determine that it's safe to keep going, they'll light the downwind side. It's known as the black line. So it's usually going to be a road that mm-hmm. holds it in all the way around it. And that fire is going to slowly work against the wind and create kind of a wider buffer to hold it in the designated area. And from there, we have a contracted helicopter, an exclusive use contract that stays at Fort Stewart for 6 months of the year during our burn season.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have two Fort Stewart personnel with the pilot in there. They'll come from Wright Army Airfield, where we keep the aircraft, and they'll first fly around the boundary of the unit and kind of check things out, make sure there's no training stuff left behind in there, make sure there's no vehicles, you know, anything that shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
And from there, we use, it's called a plastic sphere dispenser. It's a PSD machine. It's this machine that we mount into the helicopter, and it drops these, they look like ping pong balls. And they contain potassium permanganate inside of them. And when they run through the machine, they're injected with glycol, which creates a chemical reaction,
mm-hmm.
a little delayed reaction. So it's about a 40 to 50 second reaction. And we drop the ball down into the unit, and it just catches on fire, almost like a lighter flicking on the ground. It's nothing like super intense or anything.
It's not an action movie happening.
No. It's sounds a lot cooler than it is once you see it. It's a little anticlimactic to watch it, but it's very effective.
Mm.
And they'll fly a grid across the unit and light it off. And we can burn, with that helicopter, we can burn over 1,000 acres in an hour.
Wow.
And then with that smoke management that I talked about earlier, that really gives that smoke time to get up into the atmosphere and get dispersed really before it becomes any kind of issue.
And then I actually heard this one time. Are you guys an award-winning program?
We are. We have won several environmental awards. Just in the short time that I've been here, in the 6 years I've been here, we've won several. And I know there was a lot more before that. So
what are they for? Like, kind of, how do you all, I guess, win the award, I would say?
I guess they're like stewardship awards. And it's not just Fort Stewart Forestry. You know, it's all environmental.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, we all work hand-in-hand together. So I know environmental has won a lot, like, being the number one environmental program for the Army several times over the past, I'd say, 10 years.
That's so cool. Is there anything else you would like to add or let our audience know?
So right now, especially in this area, as this area develops and grows so much, public relations is the biggest thing to deal with. Like, yeah, it looks intense putting fire on the ground and keeping it in, but keeping the fire in the box is not the hardest thing. Smoke management and public relations is the hardest thing. We try to really get out ahead with that and work with the public affairs office quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even prior to burn season, we've sent out about 7,000 mailers to adjacent communities that may be seeing more smoke than others. Try to get out ahead of it, let them know what's going on. So I would just say it's a beneficial process. It's great to have out here. The training mission needs it. It's good for wildfire reduction, the threat of wildfire reduction. and threatened endangered species habitat management. So,
yeah, all around, it's a good program, it sounds like.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I know I learned a lot. I hope our audience did too. And also, guys, to stay up to date on prescribed bird notifications, please follow us on social media or check out the Fort Stewart website. Thank you, Nick, so much for joining me.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking with you. I'm Kelsey Stieber, and that concludes this episode of The Martin Report. See you next week.
The Digital Garrison app is your one-stop source for all things Fort Stewart Hunter Army Airfield. With the DG at your fingertips, you'll never miss out on upcoming events, installation updates, facility and gate information, weather, shopping, and so much more. Digital Garrison is free from your phone's app store. Download today.